Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to live your life by design in 2009? Well, then sit back, relax, and enjoy an empowering conversation to advance and enhance your life. And now, your host, Ms. Kathy Holloway Hill and Mr. Tony Lamont.
Good evening, good evening. Happy spring to everyone. This is Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we are here with you for the next hour to have a fabulous show, Women's Relationship Wednesdays. Yay, that is such a great, great topic. So how are you doing this evening, Mr. Tony Lamont?
I am blessed, thank you very much. I've had a long day. I've, trying to be healthy and take care of myself. So my significant one, has encouraged me to make sure I take care of myself. So I'm trying to do the right thing, and at this point I spent all day by the doctor's office with some tests, but we'll get the results on Friday, but I think everything's going to turn out okay.
Well, that is great. Well, you really are blessed to have someone in your life that really pushes you to do that, because that is, you know, it's one of those things that people kind of do neglect to do, so to have someone in your life that cares enough to even bring that up, that's a great thing. That is a blessing.
Yeah. Absolutely a blessing.
Yeah, So hopefully everyone will be ready for the show tonight. I am pumped and ready to go. But before we bring our guest on the line, Mr. Mark Delaney, our relationship expert, I just want to give our listeners a little bit of a sneak preview of our upcoming show next week. Tony, we're going to have Dr. Diane England join us, and she is going to be talking about the topic of codependency. And that's one of those topics that I don't really know if a lot of people totally understand what codependency is, but it's one of those kind of things where you probably need to understand. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
It's one of those kind of areas. People are so focused on trying to, I mean, just like you just mentioned, what you just said was actually a tiny sign of a little bit of codependency, because when people focus more on the well-being of someone else than they do themselves, I think that's codependency. I think.
Well, and I
Isn't
think we'll
how
find
you understand
out.
It?
Yeah, and I know we've had this discussion in preparation for the show coming up, but I know that when you talk about codependency, you have the discussions. Everybody has a sense of codependency at some point in their life. It's when it becomes overwhelmingly unhealthy for you that it really causes a problem. I think in everybody's life there's a sense of whether it's for your children, whether it's for a significant other, whether, you know, it at some point it happens. I think it's when it becomes very unhealthy emotionally, and you just feel like you can't live without that person, or you can't be without that person, or you can't do without that person, whomever they might be in your life, where it becomes a significant problem. But I'm sure we'll find out more. I'm sure it's a lot deeper than we think it is.
Right. Yeah, because, I think you're absolutely right on to something, because, depending on when that person's happy, you're happy. If that person's sad, you're sad. I think that does kind of describe codependency to a certain degree. So yes, look for that next week. Dr. Diane England will be here on the Living by Design show, and she will talk to us. And she has written several books on that topic, and she has a very successful practice, I think, up in the New York area. So, we're going to be talking to her. And tonight's topic, we are going to continue with our Women's Relationship Wednesday segments. And it's going to be continuing throughout the entire year of 2009, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. Had a lot of comments from a lot of listeners about the show, and one of the comments, not one of the comments, but several comments, were that they like variety. Everybody wants to see a little bit of variety. So we're going to do that. We are going to continue with our segment, and we are going to have we may even bring in a panel on one of our shows. We may just do a panel discussion and have, you know, callers call in for the panel with questions for the panel. So, you know, we're still kind of kicking around some ideas, trying to get creative with it. We want to make sure that everyone gets exactly what they need because spring is here and it's the time for love. So we want to make sure that everyone finds that special person. So with that, Tony, unless you have something else, do you have any other announcements?
No, that's it.
Okie dokie. I'm going to go ahead and bring our guest on the line, Mr. Mark Delaney. Hello, Mark. Are you there?
I am here. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
You know what? I am so pumped and excited to be here tonight. It's always,
great.
It's always a joy to hear Tony's voice. Man, I tell you, I wish I had a voice like that. I can't begin to tell you.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, I look forward to these shows, and it's just interesting to get to talk to an audience of people outside of my geography and just to let them see how God is working on me to hopefully help and bless them. So I'm excited about tonight's
right.
show.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mark. You have to be an example. I mean, it's very important, you know, especially when we're talking about, because, you know, you and I do some very similar work when you're talking about helping to enhance the lives of others. Yeah, it really does make a difference when we can be an example. So that's a great point.
Hey, can I jump in with one thing that I heard you guys talking about earlier?
Yes, please do.
I don't know what codependency is, but I do know what the ideal relationship is. The ideal relationship is when two people each care more about each other's feelings and well-being than about what they want from the relationship. That is ideal. When you get a person who wants me to be happy and I want her to be happy, then we make each other happy instead of just looking at the other person as, you should be doing this for me, you should be doing that for me. That is a bad relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tony, congratulations on the young lady that's looking out for you, and I'm proud to have a woman that's looking out for me, and my goal is to help every woman find a man who looks out for her.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be ideal?
It will be ideal. It will probably never happen. It's sad to me that it'll never happen, but not everyone gets it. Not everyone believes that they're worthy of such a man. Not every woman is willing to do what it takes to get such a man. And there are women out there who men like that come to them all the time, but because of baggage that they have, they actually shoo the man away. Impreferable to find a man that they can take care of. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got a lot of work to do.
Absolutely. Now, Mark, the last time we spoke, you had mentioned that you thought about quitting as a woman's relationship consultant. Why did you consider that? I mean, you seem to be so good at it.
Well, you know, it's interesting that we constantly learn, and, you know, I've never claimed to understand women. In fact, I'll be the first to say, and I know, Tony, you understand them, but I do not understand some of the things that women do and say. And I
don't know if Tony said that. I don't think he said.
I just let him be the one to have that one. He can understand him. I don't claim to understand him. And here's what happens. I used to be a man who just saw women as his source of pleasure. And not once during all that time, I was pretty public about it, did any woman ever tell me how I should respect women, how I could treat them better, how I might be hurting people. They just thought it was funny. I mean, it's just amazing to me how when you're out in the world doing things to people, nobody says a word. I met a woman after I gave my life to God. I met a woman, and I wanted to marry her. And all of a sudden, people came out the woodwork. Wait, you can't marry someone that quickly. How can you marry someone? No, no, no. So having casual, uncommitted promiscuity is okay. Finding a woman I want to marry, all of a sudden, all these women start telling me, oh, no, no, you can't do that. That's not right. Now that I'm a woman's relationship consultant, it's interesting to me that I wanted to start a program for teenage girls to teach them the benefits of graduating from high school, getting a job before having children. And I have all these people telling me that that's a bad thing to do, Mark. You should be talking to boys. You got to teach boys to respect girls so that when the girl offers herself to the boy, he will tell her no, now is not the time. Tony, did you get that?
Yeah, that's not happening.
and I try to explain that to women. You think it's easy to teach men to tell you no when you're too easy. I think it's easy to teach you how to do the right thing for yourself and earn the man's respect. And so I'm getting all kinds of flack from women in my community about how it's got to be a couples thing. You can't just talk to 15-year-old girls. You got to talk to 15-year-old boys. And I'm like, uh-uh, that doesn't make any sense to me. But that's some of the stuff that's been happening to me over the course of time.
Okay.
Something else that happened to me. A woman listened to my last show where I talked about the drive-by. Do you guys remember the drive-by?
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, a drive-by for you new listeners is a man with his friends in the car, stops by a house, goes in, has a quickie with a woman, comes out, promises, I'm going to come to your house after I go out and hang out with the fellas, but probably never comes back.
Right.
Women agree unanimously that that woman needs help. She's got a problem. But they also wonder, what's wrong with that guy? He must not have any self. And they change the focus from that woman that I want to help to that guy, and they make him the bad person. And I'm trying to tell these women that that guy looks like a champion in front of his boys. He just had one of a great physical experience with the woman he found attractive. He's going to go out, and if he feels like it, he'll come back. That my time is best spent showing that woman why she should not allow herself to be taken advantage of like that, instead of trying to change that man into a man that won't do such a thing. The other thing is, and I apologize, but I'm really excited about this. Women have told me, they've told me, you know, your wife should say this stuff. I agree with you, but I would accept it better from your wife. Now, my wife has never used a woman for sex. My wife has never thought strategies to make sure that she can get multiple women the way she wanted her. But they would rather hear it from another woman rather than hear it from literally the source of someone who thinks like the people who are going to do it to them. So that's why I say I don't understand women sometimes. So what I've come to the conclusion of is that instead of trying to save the world and save all women, I'm going to focus on those women who understand my purpose and think I can help them.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
That is a very good point. That is a very good point. So when we talked last and you had thought about quitting, that's why you had thought about quitting, because of the large majority of people that you were coming in contact with that just didn't get it.
They just didn't get it. It just seemed like it would be more beneficial to take what I know and teach it to 15-year-old boys, which would be a sin, and I would never do this. But it just seems like, for whatever reason, women don't understand men. They don't understand that men are so motivated. In fact, there was a guy named Sigmund Freud. You guys have heard of him, right?
Absolutely.
Didn't he say that everything a man does is so he can have sex with a woman he finds attractive? Didn't he say that? Wasn't that his whole Freudian theory that everything men do is to have sex with women?
I don't know, Mark. I don't know if he did say that or not, but, I mean, it's really not rocket science. I do understand that. I mean, I don't know why that is such a hard fact for women to comprehend. Men are visual, and men, I really don't want this to sound like I'm bashing men, because I'm absolutely not, but men have one specific goal when they first meet a female. They have one specific goal. Now, that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion, Mark.
Tony, we agree. That's not an opinion, right? Ultimately, when we meet a woman, we want to have her physically. Now, what varies is how we go about having her physically. Some of us just want quick, short sexual experiences. Others of us want to marry that woman so we can have her the rest of our lives. That's really what separates men. Their motive is clear. They want to have sex. Now, I have learned since I married my second wife, the relationship we have. Excuse me?
No, never mind. Go ahead.
There's something beyond physical sex. It's called intimacy. I have a level of intimacy with my wife that could not happen if we weren't married, if we didn't stand before God and say we pledged ourselves to each other, and if we didn't wait until we were married to have that physical intimacy. So that's what I encourage. But ultimately, whether he knows it or not, men ultimately want sex. The only question is, what kind of sex do they want?
Absolutely. And, you know, Mark, I was thinking one of the things that in your conversation and your dialogue here is one thing that's very simple about men, and teaching women about men is a very important part because it gives them an opportunity to – it's going to be hard to understand us completely as men have problems understanding women because we do think differently. We are different creatures, and we have different ways of processing stuff. It's already been proven. But one thing for sure is that a man needs to – if a woman wants to be with a man and she wants that man to be with him the way that is understanding to her, she has to show him the kind of woman she is but the kind of man he needs to be to her.
That is exactly right.
Right. And so often and so many times that doesn't happen because there is that – and I always use the knight in shining armor ideal because women are princesses. They're raised to think that this guy is going to come sweep you off your feet. Well, he's interested in sweeping you off your feet in many instances, but he's not your knight in shining armor. He's your knight, and I literally mean knight. If he can help it, until he makes up the decision that he's going to be a man and look at life differently, and then that'll be the difference in what he does for you and what he does to you.
Well, Mark, before you comment, can I just jump in here and add something to what Tony just said so that when you do comment, you'll be able to take it from both angles?
Sure, Kathy.
What you just said, Tony, that a woman needs to show a man how she wants to be loved, or is that what you said?
How he needs to treat her. It's going to be different.
How she wants to be loved, or how he needs to treat her. Yeah. So what if a woman does do that, but instead of the man absorbing it and hearing it and understanding it, he gets resentful and defensive that she's trying to tell him how to behave.
Instead of taking it
as, well, that's how I want to be loved, that's how I need to be, you know, showed affection, that's how I need to be close, that's how I need the intimacy to show me that you care. What if he takes it as complaining?
Well, Kathy, that's why people date. See, dating, which wasn't around in biblical times, dating is something that people do to see if they're a match. They don't date to have sex. They date to see if they're a match long term. The idea that two people need to date for 5 years to know if they should be married, it's ludicrous. You usually know in 30 days if this person is not
Hallelujah.
For you. And
Hallelujah.
You usually know in 6 months if they are right for you. So
Hallelujah.
We men, here's my answer to both to what Tony said and to what you said. Along the way, men have convinced women that sex is the way to get them. If you want me, baby, just be whatever I want you to be sexually, and you're going to have me. And it has not worked, has it, ladies? You give yourself to man after man, and he just finds somebody else who's willing to do it. When women realize and wake up, hey, if men want to have sex, let them marry me, and they can have as much as they want. That's when women will come into relationships with fewer scars, fewer broken hearts, maybe no children, fewer diseases. I mean, all the things. Look at what dating and sex has earned women and men in our society today, especially in the black community. 85% of black children are born to a single woman. Black women are the fastest growing population with HIV and AIDS. Black women have broken hearts and scars from past relationships that go so deep that when they do find the right man, they don't trust them, they can't give themselves fully, and they are constantly in fear that they're going to be hurt again. It's not working, ladies. It's not working. But if you keep listening to your girlfriends who say, oh, try this, oh, girl, he's good, I'm telling you, you're going to just get hurt again and again, and men love it. There is nothing the male population wants more than for you to believe that the way to get them is to be as sexual as they want you to be. And it's just sad to me. I'm sorry. It's just sad to me that women have fallen in to that belief.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I guess I guess my question is more for the relationships that are already in place. And I know we're probably more focused on new relationships because you can't really talk about a relationship that's existing if you don't know what to do to get the relationship there in the first place. So,
well, Kathy, here's what I've noticed. I look at the difference between my first marriage and my second marriage, and one of the things I remember my first wife telling me is, you know, I believed that I had to give myself to a man in order to keep him. In other words, if I didn't have sex with him, he would never be mine. And after a few of those instances, and I don't know how many of those instances there were, but I know it's fairly common for a woman to believe that, then along comes a man, a good man, who really wants to love her. So today, there are women in relationships with good men, but the woman has so many battle scars, so many wounds, so much hurt, that she is literally resentful against men, and she takes it out on her present husband. And I promise you that there are women who are so angry at all men that their husband is miserable. I've met so many women who see sex as a chore, like dishes, laundry, vacuuming, something they don't want to do unless they have to because of how much they did before they were married. So,
now, see, now, Mark, I'm going to have to disagree with you there because I know I have some people that I've talked to, clients, in situations where it's reversed.
Well, now, Kathy, I'm not saying every woman.
Well, yeah, and I'm just saying. I mean, I know you're not saying every woman, but there are situations where it's reversed, where the man is the one that's, you know, got battle scars and issues and first one thing and then another going on in his life, and he's not in a mental frame of mind to be intimate and loving and caring and affectionate, you know?
I agree with you, and I'm not saying that that doesn't exist. But I'm talking, you know, from my perspective where I work with women, I'm also saying that there are a lot of women in that situation to where they've been hurt so much.
But what do they do? What does that woman do in a situation
where... I'm glad you asked that question because that's really what I'm focusing in on now is helping individual women understand how they played a role in allowing men to hurt them. And I wrote an article for my local newspaper here that called The Power of Accepting Blame. And, you know, if I let's say I had been hurt by women in the past and I began to think that all women were hurtful, I can't have a passionate, intimate relationship with another woman as long as I resent all women. But in the times I look back at my behavior, there are probably things I did that allowed those women to take advantage of me. And so what I try to do now is books don't help people. Books are a great way for authors to make money, but books don't really help people because they don't get to the essence of an individual woman. If you look at all the books that have been written about relationships, money, and all the things, we still have all those problems going on. In fact, things seem to be getting worse. So I try to help women understand how they played a role in allowing a man to hurt them. Once they understand and accept how they played a role in it, now no man can do that again to them without their permission. Instead of blaming the men for things that have happened to them, if I can get them to understand that there's some blame on themselves and teach them to never do that again, now that's a powerful woman. That's a woman that can keep anybody from ever hurting her again.
Yeah.
In fact, and just to go, go ahead, Kathy. I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead. No, go ahead. No, go
I've
ahead.
I've really begun looking at how I can help individual women, so I've created a special just for your show of personal one-on-one coaching for just $1 a minute. And in many cases, in 30 minutes, I can literally help a woman understand her role and how she allows men to do things to her that she probably didn't think she would allow. And then show how now, once she gets all that stuff off her chest, she is now free to love, to trust, because she understands that no one can hurt her without her permission.
I have to agree with you there. I absolutely have to agree with you there, Mark, because you're absolutely correct. I mean, I do believe that in the relationship, the woman does have, I think, the majority of the, I don't want to say power, that's not a good word.
No, power is the word, Kathy. Power is the word. Women have all the power. They just choose.
I didn't want to say that, but I think they do have a lot of the influence that is going to kind of set the tone for the relationship, because if they allow the guy, whether it's a new relationship, they're dating, or ongoing relationship that's been going on for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever they allow to continue to happen will continue to happen until they put a stop to it. Now, Mark, you said you believe that you have learned the biggest secret to a woman creating success in her present and future relationships. Do you want to share that secret? I'm sure our listeners would love to know.
Well, Kathy, I believe I already did. It's really the power of accepting blame.
Gotcha.
And I want to tell a story, because I haven't always been a genius like I am today. There was a time when I was pretty stupid, okay? I once dated a woman, okay, and dated for a year, and I loudly and proudly, we proclaimed our love for one another. So one day, in my ingeniousness, I decided that this woman has had her tubes tied, and we are monogamous, so I can stop having protected sex with her and have unprotected sex with her. A year later, I found out she was she had the disease, AIDS. Another year later, I found out she knew she was HIV positive before she met me, but it was her secret. So I was angry. I mean, I was mad, and I blamed her for letting me do it. So I asked her a question. I said, how could you say you love me and let me have unprotected sex with you? You could have easily said, no, I just don't do that. But she let me do it. And her answer to me is an answer I want every woman to pretend a man will say to her if she does what I just did. She said to me, without guilt or remorse, Mark, it was your job to protect yourself, not mine. And once she said that to me, I got madder, but I realized I'm responsible for my body, my mind, my soul, and my heart. I should never give those things to people who haven't earned it. Mm. I should never take chances with my life and my health with people who I really don't know care about me.
Mm.
And it was an incredibly freeing experience. Now, all of my HIV tests since then, that was years ago, have come back negative. God saw me through it. But I use it today.
It was a lesson there for you. It was a lesson there
for you. That's right. And I want to pass that lesson on to everybody else. I could still blame her, but the reality was I decided that I would have more fun if I did it my way. So I stopped protecting myself, and I had to suffer through the risks. Now, I say this because relationships, my pastor at church this Sunday said, all journeys down the wrong path begin with a lie.
Mm,
I want you to think about that. All journeys down the wrong path begin with a lie. And I have a lie all my life. I thought I needed to have sex with a woman before I married her so I would know if she could please me or not. But my wife today, we didn't have intimate relations before we got married, and she is without question, we have more intimacy, more passion, more love than I've ever had in my life for a longer period of time because we waited. So it's a lie that you have to know what your partner's going to be like before you marry him in order to, somehow better yourself for marriage. It is a lie. Well, I got one more lie, Kathy, and then I'll let you speak.
No,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You're good.
It is a lie that having sex with a man or having sex with a woman proves somehow that you love them or that they love you. That is a huge lie. Any man can have sex with any woman. But only a man who loves you will wait until you're married to have sex with you.
I like that statement. That's a good statement.
Can I say it again? Because I want to make sure everybody heard that. Tony, can I say it again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Any man can have sex with you as a woman. But only a man who truly loves you will wait to have sex with you until you're married.
Now, Mark, I have a question for you. Actually, someone in the chat room said this. And the first question I have for you is, the young lady, the example that you just used, how long had you been seeing her?
About a year to a year and a half.
So now, what if, because the person in the chat room said, what if you had married that young lady and not knowing that she was HIV positive? What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, I think it depends on the character of the person. See, if I, let's say, met somebody, fell in love with them, and married them, and then found out later that they were HIV positive and that they were that way before they married me, but they didn't know it, I would stay with that person because I love that person. And I don't feel like you should abandon somebody just because they're sick. If in this case that I found out she knew before but didn't tell me, that's a whole different matter because that's a question of her character. So I would say this, if I'm married to somebody and they came down with something tragic through no fault of their own, I would stand by that person because I would want them to do that for me. If I found out that they knew before and lied, well, then we'd have serious relationship problems and trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark, let me ask you this real quick, because this is something that has gone on for a long time, and we may have spoken about this on previous shows, but one thing that I know when it comes to relationships, and a lot of women do this, because there are a lot of professional women out there, women who have made up in their minds that I've got to have this before this man becomes Mr. Right or is going to be Mr. Right to me. What do you say to those women out there that have that list, that laundry list, that checklist? I mean, of course, there are certain things that you definitely need to have. I mean, if you're a Christian and if the person has to be a Christian, that's something you're not going to, you know, stand without having. And, you know, there are some absolutes. But what do you think about these lists? These checklists of these qualities and these things that a lot of women, because one thing I will say, I know a lot of guys, and a lot of guys don't have lists, but I know a lot of women, and most of them have lists. And so what do you say to those women in this kind of a scenario in your conversations with them? Because that's a challenge, because Mr. Right may have walked right by them because they didn't have all the items on the list, and they didn't have all the things on the list.
I just spoke with a young lady, a client of mine, just the other day. She had 28 items, non-negotiables, on her list. And I said, well, what are your top three? She said, well, they're all top. 28. So that's a great question. Go ahead, Mark.
I have a couple of answers for that. Number one, I think you can make a list so that you're protected from ever getting close to somebody. And I worry that some people with, say, 28 items on their list is just protecting themselves so that no man will ever measure up, so I don't ever have to commit to anybody. I sometimes wonder if the list applies to all relationships or just marriage. So, for example, would they have a affair or, you know, a one-night stand with somebody who didn't meet any of those qualifications because it was just for fun, but, you know, they just won't get serious with someone unless they have all those qualifications. The other thing I found is that people say, this is what I want in someone, and then they end up marrying someone who's totally different because we don't really know what we want. We just know what sounds good. And I'll give you an example of, I got to give it my wife. My wife is not the prototypical woman that I would probably seek out. But she is the best thing for me. She's the best woman I've ever been with. She's wonderful. Does that make sense? I mean, I can have a dream woman, but then I have the woman that's best for me. And I would encourage women and men to really think about what's best for me. Now, my lead is God, not my list. So when I met her, I knew that this was the woman God had for me. And so I put my list aside or my desires aside, and I went out to her. She's still beautiful. She's still attractive. I still look at her and go, wow, I can't believe that woman's mine. But, you know, if I had her in a lineup, I probably wouldn't pick her first. But
Why do you say that, Mark? Why do you say she's not somebody that you would have typically pursued?
Well, I would have to say that, number one, you know, I'm going to choose not to answer that question. Because I don't want anyone thinking less of my wife. It isn't about it's because the stuff that I've
picked. And I don't want you to – you don't have to get specific. You don't have to get specific. But, I mean, is it something – is it a physical thing or is it a personality thing or is it where you met her, the type of job she has? I mean,
it's a little bit physical. It's a little bit physical and it's a little bit personality. You know what? Here's why. I'll say, number one, she's a little bit older than perhaps my ideal woman would have been.
Okay.
However, she's got just as much energy as I do. She is, she's got just a lot of small, little, what I learned are irrelevant things that are different. However, I am more in love with her than I could have if she had all those features but was a different person.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It does.
Well, I just want to say this because, you know, she's going to hear this eventually, and I can't explain it in a way that makes sense. I can only tell you that, and we've talked about this, I would not pick her in a lineup, but I wouldn't trade her for any of the women that had all the characteristics I might would want. So, Tony, does that make sense at all as a man? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, and I tell you what's radiating, really, you know, in what you just said. You said it earlier when you got rid of, you let God lead you and you got rid of your list. But, I mean, the perfect thing to say when that time comes and that person comes is that regardless of what I thought about you, God thought it best for me to be with you, and that's who I trust. So regardless of what I thought, this is what I've done, and I've done it, and it's the happiest and best thing for me. I mean, it makes the most sense. You said God led you. It was a very, you know, you knew that. You feel that way. There's absolutely no other answer. It doesn't matter what you would have done. It doesn't matter what you would have been or how you used to be. Once God put her in your life and put her in front of you, all those things that you would have looked at and said, nah, were eliminated because God made it so.
Tony, you live in Indianapolis, right?
Yes.
Because I might need a place to stay when she hears this show because somehow I just don't feel like I said it right. I mean, ladies, I want you to understand.
I don't agree with that, Mark.
Yeah, okay, well, I hope so. Like I said, I don't understand women. I do know that that is the woman for me. I would not trade her for all the Halle Berrys or Beyoncés or all the other things I thought I wanted in the world. And I just want to be clear on that.
Because I'm a woman, and I totally would everything else that you said. I mean, you can't totally discount everything else that you said because everything else that you said is that she is the woman for you. She's the woman that God led you to. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. She's great. You all are compatible. I mean, you've said all the right things. So, I mean, you're only telling a story. That's pretty much all you're doing. So you're talking about when you all first met, when you first got together. I mean, the young man that I'm seeing, young man, I don't know why I'm saying young man, but the gentleman that I'm seeing right now, I mean, I could say some of the same things that, you know, there's a lot that I never would have went that route. But that's the route that was the route I thought God was sending me down. I don't know. You know, sometimes you never know. But, you know, you have to go with where you feel that God is leading you. And that's exactly what you did. So I thought you said it very, very eloquently.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll have her give you a call if she takes it differently. As I think about relationships, I would like to believe that everyone would want to be married if they had my marriage. Now, I'm not thinking that I have the best marriage in the world. I just have the best one for me, and I think that is really the key. And as I think about how to help people make that happen, I am going back to the same. We have a 50% divorce rate in this country, and from what I understand, second marriages are even higher. You would think people would learn and get it right. And I think the issue comes down to a long, long time ago, God set some rules for a marriage. And remember the thing, every journey down the wrong path begins with a lie. I believe the lie all my life, and that is sex and date is a natural part of dating. It is what we do today. And it has led me to pain, to trouble, to problems, to almost contracting HIV, a divorce, a child I don't live with. What more evidence do we as a society need to see that sex outside of wedlock isn't the way God planned it? Now, I sound like some old-fashioned guy, but the truth of the matter is, having done it, I am freer than I've ever been before in my life. I am happier than I've ever been before in my life. But I need everyone to understand, it was a woman who taught me that you don't have to have sex when you date. And that's why I've targeted women as being my audience, because the more women that I can teach to respect and love themselves enough to hold out for the relationship they want, then the more men who get transformed through those women. The same impact that a woman had on me, every woman can have on a man, but only if they hold out for the relationship they want and stop giving themselves to men who do not deserve them.
And I'm going to agree with you 100%, and I'm going to even add a little bit to that, because I do know a lot of women that have not been with a lot of men. I mean, I know several women that have only been with, you know, a couple of men, and even still in that situation, sometimes they end up in a hurtful relationship or a relationship that's not fulfilling for them. So with that, I would even go one step further and say, don't allow a man to just use you for sex, and also don't sacrifice your feelings or don't sell out who you are, your values, and what you want in a relationship, because that man has issues. You have to take care of yourself first.
And this may also sound old-fashioned.
You have to love yourself.
This may also sound old-fashioned, but you need to find a man who ultimately someday can take care of you. I don't mean in a dependent way. I mean, if you got sick, who's going to take care of you? That's what husbands are for. Not so that if you get sick, they run out the door the other way. Hey, so I just think that all those things are very, very important for women to understand. They have a role. They are the moral authority of a free society. They set the rules, not us. Don't let us tell you how to win us over. Tell us how you want to be treated. Everyone wants me to teach men how to respect women. But, Tony, don't you agree? There is nothing we can tell boys or men that is more powerful than the collective behavior of women in our society.
Absolutely. And I was sitting here thinking about the double standards in society when it comes to gender. Because when you talk about fathers and their sons and mothers and their daughters, a father will tell his daughter, and I'm the father of all girls, and a father will tell his daughter throughout their lives to make sure that, you know, you have the most precious and protected and don't do until you get married. A father will say that all day long to his daughters. That's what he says. But when that conversation is switched and the conversation is had with the sons, it's, well, son, you know, go out and, you know, sow your seed.
Protect yourself.
Well, no. Go out and sow your seeds. Do what you need to do. Yeah, use protection and all that, but have fun, because that's what men do. Well, if a man would say to his young son, you have to respect women. You have to understand that what that woman has is the most precious gift that God has put on this planet. And it's not necessary for her to give it to you, because it belongs to her. When you love her enough for her to give it to you, when you're married, that's when you'll get it. If a father said that to his son as his son was growing, that son would treat women much differently than men do treat women. But we all know very seldom, and I don't know the statistics, but I just know from experiences and conversations in the barbershop, that doesn't happen. Or if it happens, it's very seldom.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, Tony, and I have a daughter also. But I do think that in our community, especially in the black community, if 85% of children are being born to a single woman, they're not going to grow up with a man in the house anyway. So these are the type of trends that we're trying to turn around, one woman at a time, one woman at a time.
Yeah, and not only that, but, I mean, the comment you just made, Tony, is true. I mean, and Mark's right. Unfortunately, a lot of young boys don't have a male role model. But when they do have that male role model needs to just not talk that talk, but he needs to walk the walk so that his behavior can show that young boy that this is how you treat women. Don't tell a young boy, treat a woman with respect, and then that young boy sees that individual go out and you know, just kind of be a womanizer. So
absolutely.
I think it goes.
Well, and I think you'll also find that in many instances, people who grow up in households where there are marriages where the parents have been together for a long time, and I will say successful marriages. I won't say, because some back in the day they stayed together, but they weren't really together in many instances. Let's just say successful marriages, and they did stay together, and the husband and wife and the children grew up in that household. They had a different respect for what marriage stood for and what it means. And Mark, I'll ask you this: the challenge when you are talking about single parent household, 85% of households being headed by a woman, the challenge of that woman trying to be the example of what a relationship is supposed to look like. When you're in the process of teaching women, how do you help eliminate that pain? Because they probably, and the statistics are probably matching, they probably grew up in that same scenario. They were single parents, and very possibly they were children of single parents. So that trend, how do you, in your conversation, stop that mindset that I'm not going to be in a successful relationship? Because that's just what happens. Guys come and guys go, and I'm not worthy, and if he really loved me, he wouldn't leave me regardless of who I am or how I am. How do you stop that slide when that process is something that seems to be handed down?
Well,
maybe a broad question, but yeah.
It is a fairly broad question, and I think it goes back to what I've tried to say all along. There is no – it's a lie to believe that dating and sex go hand in hand. I believe that if women and I know I should say women and men, but mostly it comes down to the woman. I can tell you story after story of women who dated men who did not try to have sex with them, and then conversations about his sexual orientation or sexual preferences started coming to play, because if a man truly does treat women with respect and don't try to be with them physically, then we start wondering, well, what's wrong with him? Something must be wrong with him, or he doesn't like me. So I think it's abnormal today for a lot of women to really be respected by a man. To answer your question more directly, though, I believe that a woman has got to set a goal that I want the right relationship with the right man, not just any relationship with a man. And I think until she does that, then she's looking at men differently. Today, there is so much insecurity in our world that we truly believe that I believe there are people in abusive relationships who feel, well, this is better than being by myself. I believe there are people who are in relationships with somebody because they're popular, well-known in their community, and, hey, I'd rather be with this person than be with someone who treated me right that nobody knew about, that nobody was impressed with. So what I would like to do is just really get all women to understand they've got to set a goal and have an expectation for what is the right relationship, and the right man is a man that is going to lift her up and empower her to be all the woman she can be, if you will, while she empowers him to be all the man that he can be, and together they become one. And that's two people. Like we said in the beginning, I don't know what codependency is, but I know that two people who care more about each other's well-being than their own well-being are two people who can be very, very happy together for a long, long time.
Go ahead.
I apologize. There's a delay between us, and it always catches me. So, Kathy, you go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, no, I was just going to – I was going to look at the other side of the comment Tony made about the sons and the fathers, and you know, because that's a very good point. But there's another piece to that. Since we are talking about the women, there are a lot of women that I have met, and I know they do what they do and why they do it, and it's because a woman's first relationship with a man is with her father. And, you know, for men that have daughters, and I know you say, well, I have daughters, so, you know, you tell your daughter this is the most precious gift. But if that relationship with the daughter was sour or whatever, it wasn't good. Let's just say it wasn't good. For whatever the reason was, maybe something beyond the man's control. Maybe the couple got divorced or whatever the case may be. And that relationship just wasn't as close and nurturing as it should have been for that young lady. And now she has self-esteem issues, and she just needs to be loved. And she mistakes that for a man coming into her life having sex with her. What do you say to those women that mistake that allowing men to use them because they mistake it for love and they want somebody to just do what their father, what they needed their father to do when they were a child? Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And I think there's a lot of that going around. In fact, I think there are specifically men in their late teens, early 20s, who look for 15-year-old girls in that situation. I truly believe that there are men who specifically look for women or girls in that situation. The only answer that I can have that solves almost all of the relationship problems we talk about is to say that a long time ago, God created a man, and from him he took, from his rib he took a woman. And he said, for this, a man will leave his mother and father to be with his wife, not to go to the club, not to hang out here, not to go to this one and that one, but to be with his wife, and the two shall become one. And I think that that is the only prescription for relationship success that I've ever seen that works almost every time. The other thing,
yeah, I agree.
And I think the key part there is not that he shall leave his mother to be with his wife, is that the two shall become one. If there's a difference between my wife and my relationship and every other relationship I've ever had, it is that I truly believe the two of us are one. We put each other and our relationship before our own individual needs. So when my wife comes home from work, I try to have something cooked for her because she's been outside and I've been sitting at my computer all day typing. My wife does stuff for me that no other woman has ever done for me. And I think that that is the key to prescription. Two must become one. They have to be married to do that. They have to honor God. And then they become one. Instead of looking out for their individual desires, oh, I want this, and they should do this for me, how can we bring pleasure to each other? How can we look out for each other? How can we have each other's back? How can we make sure that if there's only going to be two people left on this earth, it's going to be us looking out for one another? Everything else is going to fall short in some way, shape, or form. There's just no doubt about it in my mind.
Yeah.
It also
kind of goes along with taking responsibility for yourself as an adult. I mean, I know we said, you know, the man, the father and the son, and the father and the daughters, but once an individual grows up and they become an adult enough to start having sex, then they have got to take responsibility for their behavior. Even if you didn't have your father in your life, or even if your parent didn't give you that direction, you're an adult now.
Right.
You've got to take responsibility and learn that, okay, so your father wasn't there, so your mother wasn't there, so a parent wasn't there, but you still can love yourself in spite of what you went through when you were younger.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think, again, every other model for relationships has failed. The only one that really works is when two people become one and they put each other before anything else or anyone else. Hey, can I just really quickly, I have one last thing I'd like to get in. Ladies, I talked about a special earlier. I talked about my mission to help individuals accept blame so that they can empower themselves. If you go to markdulaney.com, that's my website, and click on the link that says special products, you will see a $1 per minute, which anyone can tell you is a very good rate for someone who's a good coach, a dollar a minute promotional special because of Kathy Hill. I'd like to work with you one-on-one to help you understand how you can become that powerful woman who attracts the right man. Even if you're married but your relationship's not way you want it to be, I think there's some things I've done in the past to help women. So I just wanted to get that in, Tony and Kathy, before the show ended. Mark Dulaney with a U, DulaneyY.com.
Yeah. I've got
okay,
it in the
great.
Chat room. Yeah. MarkDulaneyY.com, right?
Correct. And I really do take this not just as something that I do for money, because I can get a lot more for coaching in general, but I really want to get people to understand we are responsible for our choices. We let people take advantage of us. And I just want a chance to show each individual woman how they may allow people to take advantage, where their vulnerability comes from, and how to solve it so no one takes advantage of us without our own permission.
Absolutely. And I wanted to add to that, Mark, in this aspect, too. And I was just thinking and chomping at the bit, but I kind of held off. But one thing that Kathy had said earlier when she was talking about, women being treated a particular way and men using women. Well, the truth of the matter is women have to stop, and men too, but we're talking specifically in this case about women. Women have to stop using themselves. That's what needs to stop. They need to understand that what they have is precious, and using what you have to try to attract. Because men are men. Men will do things and act ways. They will do exactly as you lead them to do, and then you'll get upset when they do exactly what you expected them to do because it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to turn out. So stop. As a matter of fact, quit using the phrase "men using me." And just use the phrase, I'm not going to use myself anymore. I'm not going to do that to myself anymore. I'm not going to allow myself to do that. Because I think, as Kathy has stated and Mark, as you've stated, that's really where it starts.
You know, Tony, you're right. And you know what else? It's sad to me that there are women who are listening to me right now who still won't get it. They won't understand what we're trying to tell them. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I recognize that in society, we must have women who – there are always going to be women who continue to be prostitutes, unpaid prostitutes, and strippers. And there's a place in society for them. I just don't want any woman who ever heard me speak to settle for just being an unpaid prostitute. She deserves so much more. She deserves a husband who will lift her up and give her everything he has. And that's my mission. But some of them will choose. And I say it again. I know it's negative. It's a controversial statement. There are women who settle for being unpaid prostitutes, and I really wish I could stop every one of them from doing that.
And I like that phrase because you did use a phrase. You could have been more direct, but the unpaid prostitute part of it, I totally understood. I know exactly what you were saying because a lot of folks would have phrased it a different way, an absolutely different way. That is a great, great point.
And what's sad to me is sometimes they don't even get dinner and a movie. They're just totally unpaid prostitutes. Frequently, they pay for dinner or they pay in some way, and it just is a shame to me. I mean, I'm just saddened by it that we haven't done better in society at teaching our young women how to have respect for themselves, that they will expect more, demand more, and want more of men. And my last comments, and I'm running out of time, ladies, if you want to know why more and more men are weak, can't make decisions, and see you as sex objects, it is because you have taught them it's okay to do that. Men don't do anything that women do not think is cool. So whether it's the pants around the thighs, whether it's treating you with no respect, whether it's not working and letting you take care of them, it's all because you have taught them it's okay. So the only way to change that is to kick them off your couch, tell them to get a job, pull their pants up, and treat you with respect.
Right. And the bottom line is, and we're going to have to end on this note because we're coming up on our last few seconds, but you have got to have self-love. I mean, if you don't love yourself, then you're obviously going to allow anyone and anything to happen to you. You're not going to have that self-worth and that self-esteem that you need to prevent it. So, Mark, we want to thank you very, very much for an outstanding show. We appreciate your comments. MarkDulaney.com, MarkDulaney.com. Please go to his website. He's given a great offer. And we are going to sign off for now. Mark, thank you kindly for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
And we're going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we will see you next week. Good evening, everyone.